We mentioned the French Open. Our man Craig Gabriel's there. Good morning, Craig.
Gentlemen, morning, bonjour.
Now, I mean, there are upsets, and then there's Daniel Medvedev saying goodbye. Can you explain who the unseeded Brazilian is?
Please explain.
Please explain.
Thiago Seboth, wild. And he was absolutely wild. He won 7-6, 6-7, 2-6, 6-3, 6-4, 4.25 hours of some great tennis. It was really a lot of exciting stuff in that. Now, I thought that once Daniel was up 2-1, this match would turn, and you know, he'll get on top of the youngster, who's 23. But Wild was just outstanding, and Medvedev said it wasn't that he played a bad match. He said he wouldn't have changed too much in his own game. He said it's just that the Brazilian was playing exceptionally well. He's ranked 170 places below Daniel. So Daniel, you know, he's never been thrilled with playing on clay, even though he won the Rome title a couple of weeks ago. But he says, while he doesn't mind the clay season being over for him, at the same time, he doesn't want to be leaving Paris. He didn't want to be leaving Paris so soon. But, you know, look, there's information, stats on this, and that it's the first time since 2000 that the number two seed at the French Open has lost in the first round. And in 2000, it was Mark Philippoussis who beat Pete Sampras. Seboth Wild is the lowest ranked player at the French Open to beat the number two seed. The last time, it's since 1998. And in 1998, it was Mariana Zabaleta of Argentina at 213, beating Peter Korda, who was two in the world.
What did we know about our man Wild coming in? Had he shown that this was potentially possible?
No, not really, because this is the first time he's played the main draw of the French Open. The previous 3 years, he'd lost in the first round of qualifying. And it's only his second ever main draw at the majors. He got to the U.S. Open in 2020. He played the first round there. So look, he's been around and about. He did come to Australia. I remember being at a Davis Cup tie in Adelaide in 2020, I think it was, when Australia played Brazil, and he was part of the team on that occasion. Australia beat the Brazilians 3-1 that weekend. So, the Australian Davis Cup boys know him, and he's been more on the Challengers circuit as well.
Craig, let's chat about some of the Aussies. We had the All-Australian affair between Purcell and Thompson. Max Purcell beating Jordan Thompson in four sets. Was that somewhat of a surprise? And where's Jordan Thompson at in his career?
Yeah, look, Jordan is he's been struggling with eye issues over the last couple of months. When I asked him how his eyes were today, he just sort of smiled. He said, it's certainly a lot better. He said, not that long ago, he said, it felt like balloons in my eyes. He had to go back to Australia for treatment. So he's still around. He's still there, top 100. And Max is having the best year of his career in singles. He won three challenges in a row in India a couple of months ago, which is a major effort to do that. And on the tour level, this is the second time out of the two matches that Purcell has won. But on the challenger level, Purcell has never beaten Thompson, and they've played three times. And Max said it's never easy playing the Australians, but more so for him if it's not easy playing Jordan, because the two of them are very close friends.
And Jason Kubler takes on Fabio Fognini, the veteran from Italy. Any chance there for Jason?
Oh, why not? I mean, Fognini had a good win in the first round, beating Felix Auger-Aliassime, the number 10 seed. But he's tricky, he's awkward, and let's see if he stays calm or if he plays up. And if he plays up, will that affect Jason? So that's tomorrow. On the women's on the men's side, also there's Alex Dimonor who will be on court, and you know, Storm Hunter. And she has got Elena Svitolina, who used to be number three in the world. And Thanasi Kokkinakis will be playing Stan Wawrinka.
What a match that's going to be. Now, some more results.
Well, yeah, I mean, when that came through, Kyrgios couldn't resist. Had a tweet out. Directed, I'm sure, going back a few years when there was a big kerfuffle with Thanos, Nick, and Stan Wawrinka, and he said, you know, popcorn emojis.
Another major result. I mean, poor old Victoria Azarenka. She copped a bad draw. Bianca Andreescu in the first round, and she's gone down.
Yeah, but Andreescu could be saying the same thing, and Andreescu it only finished a little while ago, look, it was a tough one, and to see two former major winners playing each other in the first round, but could have gone either way. It was a three setter.
And Coco Gauff lost the first set, but got through.
Yeah, but very convincingly after losing that first set. You know, she had no hiccups at all after the first set. Casper Ruud threw in straight sets. Iga Swiatek dropped only four games. Ons Jabeur was straightforward. Holger Rune, Alexander Zverev, Elena Rybakina was 6-4, 6-2 against Brenda Filipova of the Czech Republic. So a lot of the names got through. There was another seeded casualty in the 13th seed, Barbora Krejcikova, won here a couple of years ago. She lost to Lesia Cyrenko, who's managed by one of my very close friends, so that was a great result there.
Craig, I don't know if we've asked you in the lead-up to the tournament. Do you expect Alcaraz to win?
Yes.
That's pretty emphatic.
I don't think there's much wiggle room for that.
No Rafa, so Alcaraz a clear favourite. Obviously, Djokovic. Would Djokovic be the main danger, especially with Medvedev now out of the tournament?
Certainly, but I mean, I wasn't putting Daniil up there to win the title. Djokovic and Alcaraz are in the same half of the draw, so if they were to meet, it'd be in the semi-finals. So we'll see. But I think it'll be one of those two. But my pick has been Alcaraz.
And the old scribbling on the camera, which is supposed to be sort of a nice, fun thing, has got Novak in some sort of trouble or ignited a bit of controversy, Craig?
Yeah, and some Ukrainians have made a point of that, because you've got some of the Russians and all that, and Belarusians saying, you know, sport and politics shouldn't be mixing. So Djokovic made this point about Kosovo. And one or two of the Ukrainian players, and what happened to sport and politics? No action's going to be taken on him, but that was yesterday or day before, whenever it was.
Craig, last one from me. Were you surprised that Stefanos Tsitsipas ended his relationship with Mark Philippoussis? And what do you know about that falling out?
Yeah, look, apparently it's a mutual thing. They had discussions over the last few weeks. Tsitsipas said he wanted to streamline his team. His father was there, and he's got Patrick Mouratoglou, who, in my view, is more to promote himself than anything else. But that's the way Tsitsipas wants to handle it, so we'll see how it works out for him. But I think Mark was a positive for him.
Yeah, Craig, we've got a text message in here. What's on the menu tonight in Gay Perry? They've asked snails or frog legs. Which do you prefer?
No, I've just actually had a goat's cheese quiche.
Oh, okay. That works.
I love goat's cheese.
And snails and frog legs don't get a run?
No, not getting a run. No, not even pigeon.
All right. Well, you're a good man. We appreciate your time, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Okay.